Game On. Game On 2FM.
You're right, welcome back. Now, 2 months ago, the Gaelic Players Association launched a mental health campaign with the website wewearmore.ie, designed to create awareness among the public that the players are more than just numbers and jerseys on the pitch. Sean Potts is head of communication with the GPA, and of course, former Wexford footballer Matty Ford join me on the line. You're both very welcome, lads.
Evening. Thank you.
Look, Sean, if I can start with you, I suppose most campaigns across all different sports start like this because there is a need for them in the first place, and obviously this one is no different. Is there a big problem for GA players and their potential exposure to mental health problems as a result of their career?
Well, there's a problem in Ireland with exposure to mental health problems. We do have significantly large, high rates of people who suffer with depression, and so players aren't excluded from the society they exist within. But what we found is we, through our own services, which we put in place at the when the development programme first came into place in 2010, we set up a counselling programme, and what we found was, as rates of people engaging with the service we had with our psychologist team around the country started to grow, we felt there was a need to do something which was focused internally on the dressing room, on the player, really a preventative campaign to encourage players to open up about their problems, to tackle issues that were on the horizon before they deteriorated, before problems occurred. So that was the We Wear More campaign, was about that, you know, about giving the player the control, the coping mechanism, an easy way to engage with either their teammates or our services if there was more serious issues. And that's what the focus was. Obviously, there was a very public remit to this as well. By launching this campaign, we felt that players are role models within their own communities, and we were promoting mental health in Ireland in general.
Yeah, I suppose just when I started reading about this, obviously what struck me, I mean, for players and where they're concerned, if a player picks up an injury during a match or in training, is it able to be treated for that? You know, there's physiotherapists on standby, there's all sorts of different aids, if you like. But if a player is feeling mentally low, I suppose in the past there hasn't been this facility to address problems like that.
No, there hasn't. And well, since 2010, we've had a service that's specifically designed to deal with the county playing body. And there are significant and obviously unique challenges and pressures the players have to endure as a county player. Now, having said that, the reason why a lot of elite athletes get to the point where they are playing at that level is because they want to be there, they want to compete, they want to prove they're the best, and they relish those challenges. And most cope with the, you know, significant setbacks. Very few teams can win the ultimate prize, so most teams have to cope with losing, for example. And yes, they have a coping mechanism, they have a way of contextualising what they do as elite athletes. But there are those who are vulnerable and don't cope so well. And what we, our services and our campaigns are aimed at is identifying those players, encouraging others, their colleagues, to maybe help and reach out to them if they need support, and encourage them in a confidential way to be able to engage with experts who can help them work through their issues.
Matty, absolutely spot on what Sean said. Most players relish the challenges of playing at that top level, inter-county level. They probably don't relish the amount of negative attention that comes with that, though, including poor performances or individual performances.
Yeah, definitely. You know, what Sean is saying is exactly right. You know, at the end of the day, I think any of the guys that are playing inter-county hurling or football, you know, are doing it at their own free will. Obviously, you know, I said kind of all along, especially since I've retired, that, you know, no one kind of makes you do it, but, you know, guys want to do it for the honour of representing their county. And again, as Sean says, you know, whatever prize is on offer, whatever trophy is on offer, there's only one team can win that every year. And there's, you know, far more people are going to lose than win. But, you know, I think when it gets to a stage where teams or probably even players individually are being separated and singled out for abuse after games, you know, it's not on. Because, you know, at the end of the day, said these guys are doing it their own free will. They have to get up and go to work on Monday morning the same as everyone else. And, you know, if they're professional sportsmen, soccer players or rugby players or whatever, you know, getting huge sums of money a week, you know, fair enough, it goes with the territory. You take this kind of stuff from the chin and you get on with it. And even those players, you know, at times can find it hard to take. But I think inter-county players kind of having to take that kind of abuse, I suppose, if you like to call it, it's not on.
Is this something you can personally relate to as somebody who spearheaded Wexford, you know, for so many years. Is it something that you have personal experience with?
I suppose, look, at everyone does that at some stage or other. You know, I suppose where we were coming from, we were at, in my early years, you know, I don't think it was even realised we were actually playing inter-county matches or playing Wexford, but, you know, as our profile started to rise, and I suppose expectation comes a bit higher around you as you raise expectation yourself and then maybe don't fulfil it after that. I think it does come with it. You know, I was injured for most of 2009 with Wexford. I hardly played at all that year, and unfortunately spent a lot of time in the stands of matches, and you know, the very people that were patting us on the back and patting our lads on the back in 2008, you know, some of the stuff that has been said in 2009, you know, was bordering on you know, abuse, or it was. You know, and kind of on the back of that, to be honest, I haven't been at too many Wexford matches since, because you kind of know what the lads themselves are going through as regards the effort and time they're putting in, and you know, to go out and no one goes out in the field to try and have a poor performance or individually or as a team, and you know, they shouldn't have to put up with that.
Sean, that's a really interesting point, and you know, what struck me as well, one of the main ethos in the GAA is this sense of community that's promoted, you know, the sense that everyone's involved, from the players and coaches to supporters, officials, volunteers, whatever it may be. But that also allows for a sense of entitlement from those people that would consider themselves very much part and parcel of the setup, outside of the direct squad, if you like, themselves. And maybe that sense of entitlement, sometimes people forget their role, if you like.
Yeah, we used to call them fair gamers, where these people who felt that they could say anything, because somehow they felt that they were entitled to do so. You're perfectly right. I think why this has become a little bit more insidious in recent years is because of the growth of social media, which gives such a ready platform to people to sound off. Obviously, we have our own social media guidelines, which we encourage players to have a moratorium around games, which is fine, and most players do subscribe to that and steer clear of social media. But the temptation is always there. People are on their phones. And the reality is, young people nowadays socialise through social media. It's a very intrinsic part of their lives. And the idea that they would just sort of turn their back and forget about it for 10 years is just not going to happen. So they are drawn into this web of abuse, and it's hard to avoid it. So they're exposed to, and let's be clear, we're not talking about criticism, and nobody likes criticism, nobody likes it, even if it's valid or and well thought out and constructive. But players know that's an occupational hazard. They understand criticism, they understand the professional media, and most people within the professional media are very responsible when it comes to how they measure that criticism, much as players don't like it. But they accept that. That's not what we're talking about. And it's easy to be flippant about this. What are players talking about when they're talking about abuse? They're talking about abuse. Mm. They're being abused online by idiots with keyboards who feel, as you mentioned quite succinctly there, feel entitled to have a go because it's their county. And that, I suppose that's part of the way the GAA is set up. What we have to be cognizant of is that our players are amateur. They're elite athletes who prepare on a par with professional athletes, but they're amateur. And one of the unique parts of that is that they have to go back into their own environment shortly after these games are over. Yeah. And they don't have the ability to be able to zone out. They're not cosseted like a professional sports person, where they can get a couple of weeks just to chill out and maybe get a bad defeat out of their system. They're back into their jobs, they're back into college, they're back in with their own communities. They have to face the music, as it were, with a backdrop of some personal abuse, which can be very difficult. Now, as I explained at the outset, most people can cope with this. Most people need to learn how to cope with it, much as it's not palatable or shouldn't be accepted. But we're concerned about the players that are vulnerable, who might be vulnerable to this stuff spiralling out of control down the line, leading to a state of depression. That can happen. And we've seen players who've come to us for assistance, and one of the things they talk about is the pressure of expectation within the community. That alone can be difficult, but when it's allied to abuse on the back of what is already a traumatic experience, losing a big high-profile game, then we have the potential for difficulties.
that sense of being very much amateur, having to go back into to jobs in the community, Matty, as well. I was thinking of a comparison, say someone like Rory McIlroy, who can go out and if he's a bad round of golf or has a bad, you know, year, whether on or off the course, as he had over the last 6 months, he was the focus of a lot of attention, but he's able to switch off because, you know, he protects himself, he's a massive team around him, he can switch off his phone to that and doesn't have to read it or listen to it. But for these young guys going back into their family unit, if you like, their community where they work and live, it's impossible for them to ignore that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. As you said, you know, the likes of these professional sportsmen like Rory McIlroy, you know, probably spends most of his time in America, so he's kind of away from, I suppose, a lot of the Irish fan base of his anyway. But the normal GA hurler and footballer has to, as you said, go back into work the next day, back into college, whatever like that, back especially among his own people. I think the point Sean makes is very valid. The social media and the online thing, like it's very easy for people to hide behind you know, the likes of Twitter or, you know, Hogan Stand forums or supporters forums. They know every county has them, you know, and you know they're literally nobody obviously knows who they are. And abuse players, you know, if someone comes up to you in the street and says something, fair enough. But
well, that's different. I mean, I can't imagine, Matty, for example, that there are too many lads who stood in front of you and gave you abuse. Whereas, you know, with messaging boards and Twitter and even being able to comment under articles, people can pretty much say what they like without fear of being identified. And all of a sudden, they're the bravest lads that ever walked the face of the earth.
That's exactly it. And kind of one guy starts something like that online and, you know, just it kind of spirals. And you know, I, off the top of my head, I can't ever remember someone literally coming up to me and standing in front of me and saying something to me, you know, like that, you know, after a match, after a bad performance, after a beating.
I wouldn't say it would have lasted, you know, too long if they did.
Possibly not, no, but there's lots of stuff and several other players as well, and I think we've only seen it again in the last few weeks, you know, attacking both teams and players individually, as I said, on forums and online and stuff like that. And you know, it's not on to these guys, you know, don't give up 8-10 months of their lives, you know, a year, for to go out and play poorly or bad performances. And you know, I said they're back up the next morning to go back into their daily life, and you know, they don't need stuff like this going on.
Sean, I mean, I can almost guarantee it. I mean, these people are cowards to do this, right? First of all, absolutely. If you took 95% of them, of these people who made these comments under whatever Twitter or message boards, whatever, and put them face to face with the person that they're accusing or abusing, I guarantee you that they wouldn't do it.
Interestingly, a couple of years ago, during the early years, in the sort of turbulent years of the formation, the Gaelic Players Association, we had our own issues with what were then the most popular sort of online thing, which was the big forums, and we had a lot of players who, a lot of contributors to these forums were abusing some of the leading figures within the Players Association. But we tracked some of them down and invited them into the GPA offices at the time, and needless to say, they never arrived.
Yeah.
But no, you're right, there is a cowardly thing about somebody, you know, without a handle, without their name, putting their name forward, you know, in the privacy of their own home, abusing somebody online. As I said, it's something that has become part of the coping structures that players have to deal with, and we're trying to help them through that. As I said, in most instances, players will shrug it off. They know that these people are idiots if they are abusing. And again, can I specify the difference between abuse and criticism?
Sure.
There's constructive criticism, and players who play at an elite level know that they're judged at a very, very high standard. There is a professional media covers our amateur games. The professional media, which has grown exponentially over the last 20 years as the game has grown, as the interest on television and technology improves, players are under more and more scrutiny. You know, the difference between the games, if you say when it exploded to life on live television, say Dublin and Meath in 1991, and the difference with how all the games and how they're covered now, everything is under the spotlight. So there are new pressures, different demands that are on players now that weren't there 20 years ago. And that's why it's so important that things like the development programme that's there for them, that they engage with it, that it's there to support them, and that it remains viable and effective in helping players to cope with the demands that are now placed in them.
And would it be fair to say, Sean, that the majority of those that are vulnerable are the younger players, that maybe guys with a bit more experience can brush it off easier than the guys who've just come into a setup and all of a sudden they're plunged into the headlight or into the spotlight, if you like?
Not exclusively from our own experience. I think it goes across the board. Some you know, things can spiral out of control in someone's life, and it can be compounded by the pressures that exist. But we, you know, there is a positive aspect to how that the program is there, that people can engage with it, that there is support there, and players understand that it's there and should be encouraged through whatever avenue is easiest for them or safest for them. They should engage with the program, and that is a positive development. Unfortunately, it's grown as some of the more insidious aspects of the modern game have been brought to light over recent weeks, which is unfortunate to see.
Matty, just before I let you go, we had Brian Cuthbert on here last week before the Sligo game, and you know, he was very, very open and honest interview ahead of that match. But here's a guy in his first season succeeding Coonan in the job. Cork obviously haven't had their best run of form ever, but the abuse that Brian and the players had to take on the back of the first couple of months of the season was jaw-dropping. And even when an article went up on our own website here, some of the comments underneath it from people who wouldn't sign their name, just incredible.
Yeah, well, look, as they're saying, it's easy hiding behind a keyboard or hiding behind a laptop and write abuse about people. I think, you know, most footballers or most, I think, ex-players, you'll find very few ex-players actually come out and say that kind of stuff about other players or about their own county players or their own county manager. You know, I suppose it's an easy thing to do. Is they're hiding behind something else. I actually do a small bit of tweeting myself, and you know, the likes of the Cork Kerry game or the Dublin Meath game, I know the Meath players and the Cork players have been getting plenty of it sent to do matches. And you know, personally, I'd rather, if I was going to tweet something about the game, you'd rather tweet about the performance of the Dublin or Kerry in those games rather than what, you know, the likes of Cork and Meath were doing wrong. Because, you know, while Meath and Cork were poor in two games, you know, I think maybe more people should be concentrating on the level of quality that Dublin and Kerry produced in the two games, and you know, kind of lay off the losers to a lot more.
Okay, I think that's a good note to leave it on. Thanks very much for your time, Matty Ford there, and Sean Potts. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Game on. Game on. 2FM.